should all of us have the right to know what our colleagues earn to help create fairer pay levels? The radio presenter Sarah Montague won a £400,000 settlement and an apology from the BBC. She said she was treated unequally by the corporation for years. In 2018, Sarah said that she was incandescent with rage after finding out that her £133,000 a year salary for working on Radio 4's World at One and Today programme was less than her co-presenters were earning. So would you support transparent salaries for all? Would it help to get rid of that gender pay gap, for example, if you knew what your colleagues were getting paid for doing, well, whatever their job might be? On the line, we have commentators Fionnuala Meredith and Andre Walker. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Vinny.
We'll start with you, Fionnuala. Is this something you would be in favour of?
It is indeed. I think there's some great arguments for what's called pay transparency, where everybody knows what everybody else earns, and it's not an issue. They already do it in countries like Sweden, Norway and Finland, where, you know, the tax returns and things like that are entirely public. So it's all out there. So there's no issue of privacy if everyone's pay is public, if you know what I mean. And the potential benefits are absolutely brilliant, because if everyone knows everyone else's pay in any particular organisation, any bias or anything like that, whether it's through gender, disability, to do with minority ethnic issues, it's just going to be so obvious. And then the organisation would be forced to make the changes needed. I think the fact that it's not, that pay transparency isn't kind of widely adopted, well, there's lots of reasons, but a lot of it's to do with employers, because they're scared that if they, you know, put out employees' salaries and make it public, they're going to get loads of complaints from really annoyed workers. But I actually think it would really benefit the workers. And you just have got to look at the example of the Nordic countries to show you that.
Andre?
Well, there's very few things that make people in Northern Ireland shudder, but the idea that everybody knows what everybody else earns clearly is going to be one of those things. Look, this example of the radio presenter is really bad. Over Christmas, I stood in for Eamon Holmes on a rival radio station to this one, much as I don't listen to any other station. And clearly, I didn't get as much as he did, because he's a well-known figure. You know, when we talk about these...
Now, there is a sensitive subject on this programme.
but look, when you talk about these media celebrities, obviously you have to be judged not just on what you do, but also the ratings you bring in. And on the gender pay gap, look, you know, it is important that people are not discriminated against. I know that when my mum in the 1970s took on a job, she was given 50% of what a man would have earned. But those things have changed now. And the idea that the solution is everybody should know everybody else's financial business.
Have they changed? You're referring to the gender pay gap there. Has that totally been rectified, Andre?
Yeah, it has, actually. The statistics are often quoted, misunderstand the fact that women and men generally work differently, because women often take part-time work, which is generally lower
paid. In terms of
the gender pay gap, there's a fair amount of evidence that women actually earn more than men when they have similar jobs.
Yeah, but you don't think there's any kind of bias against women in certain roles? You really think that? Because that's delusional.
Sorry, I'm delusional. Go on.
Yeah, I think it's delusional to think that to deny that there's bias. Yes, you're right. Certain women often do certain kinds of lower paid roles. That often does happen. No one's denying that. But you seem to be saying that there's no bias against women at all. And clearly there is. But
look,
what
in
I'm
terms
saying
of,
is,
in,
you know, hang on, you've talked for quite a bit. Let's get back to the key issue here. And I think it's this thing of being taboo to talk about your pay. I remember it was really funny. There was a survey a couple of years ago now that showed that people were much happier to talk about their sex lives rather than what they actually earned. And there's no real reason that that should be. You know, why do we have this taboo? Because, again, come back to the point, the reality is that all this sort of secrecy that we have around salaries, it benefits organisations more than the employees.
But is it possible, Fionnuala, that it could also cost more if you know exactly what someone else gets? So, you know, yep. Andre was referring to covering for, you know, on a radio show as one example. If he knew exactly what Eamon Holmes got for that slot, it would possibly give him a little bit more leverage to say, well, you're offering me a quarter, a third, half of that. Surely you can give me a little bit more. I'm worth more than that. There's a comparison there.
Yeah, I don't think the media is a good example because the media is a very weird place, as we all know, where we've seen in the case of Sarah Montague and many others, you know, we get into discussion about, you know, why are they paid as much as they are? We get into all sorts of issues. I don't think the media is representative because you get into that. Well, remember the other issue with Samira Ahmed and Jeremy Vine and there were lawyers arguing that Jeremy Vine deserves to be paid more because he has a certain glint in his eye. The media and indeed the sort of whole entertainment industry is not represented. Very weird.
But if you worked in a standard office, you know, again, it would give you some comparison. I know there is a gender issue there, but if we put that to one side just for now, if you're going for a role or you're in a role and you know that someone else that's maybe had a little bit more experience is getting paid more from you than you, it gives you that leverage. It gives you a comparison to go and say, well, why are they? And then you get into a slightly grey area of experience and where you've come from. Like, where do you get down to the specifics of, let's pay everyone exactly the same, or I've been there for 5 years, I came back from such and such place where I got this experience in this company. People bring very different things to any role.
That's true, but I think transparent salaries, you can base them on fairly objective measures, things like role or, as you say, experience or local cost of living, rather than something more, you know, vague like performance. You know, what does that really mean? Of course, it's not a perfect system, but I do think that a pay transparency is really motivating for employees because you can just see that all the benchmarks for doing better are there. You know, and there is anecdotal evidence that it can result in more productive and happier workers.
I just want to go back to our top story. We were talking about the MLA pay rise at £1,000 plus another £500 in April. We've gone to the different parties. The Alliance Party have now told us that charitable donations are a personal and private matter for individual MLAs and not something on which members generally comment publicly. So that's from the Alliance Party. Sinn Féin, again, they're saying they will not accept it. The SDLP saying they have told that all of their MLAs will actually be donating that money to charity. Jim Wells, also on the programme, saying he will do the same. So the UUP, they got back to us and they said that, just try and find this again, that it is down to individual MLAs what they do with the pay rise. So there is some difference there in terms of the party line across the board, what they are suggesting to their MLAs to do. Let's go to Stephen in Antrim. Good morning to you. You're on about this pay transparency. Would you be in favour?
Well, I think in general, yes. I spent a couple of decades in the United States. And one thing that you knew, regardless of your professional role, you know, you may have been a doctor or a architect or a nurse or something like that, but people weren't paid the same. They were paid based on, you know, a sort of merit. But on the BBC's, you know, the gender gap, one of the things that I understand looking at the figures is the BBC broke the report down into quartiles, into quarters. The biggest gap is at the upper quartile. And I think that this is where things, you know, get skewed, if you like. So you have Gary Lineker on close to £2 million, you see, and no female close to that. The way that you split up that information is important. But I think pay transparency will actually helps to improve productivity. I think ultimately...
Yeah, okay. All right, Stephen, thank you. Fionnuala, thank you. And Andre, thank you as well.